You type in psychological thriller, Western animation, you got nothing.
No,
Like, you
nothing.
got nothing, you know?
Yeah.
You got Coco Melon, that's all you get.
You get Coco Melon, right?
My boy Coco Melon.
Welcome, everybody, to the Voice Chat Podcast. My name is Mars from The Amazing.
I'm Laddie.
I'm Rush Light Invader.
Hello. And we have our lovely guest.
So, I'm Kevin. I am half of SMG4 and I am half of Glitch, the animation studio.
Yeah, and I'm Luke. I'm also half of SMG4, well, the original guy from SMG4, and now I'm working with Kevin and also the co-founder of Glitch.
Ayo.
Super, super, super stoked to have you guys here. Thank you so much for popping on.
No worries. Thank you.
Before we begin, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to all the patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast, each and every single one of you. We'll do the shout outs at the end. If you want to see the podcast a week earlier, please make sure to become a patron or channel member. You get early access, secret access to all of our special episodes. Thank you so much. And I hope you support us in the future.
All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty, guys. All right, let's talk about the weather.
You know, the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty. Nice. Everyday conversation.
Hour-long discussion about Australian weather.
Yeah. Is it hot there right now? What's going on?
It's
pretty
hot.
Awful.
Yeah. It's hot, yeah.
It's pretty awful.
It's 91 here.
It's very hot.
It's like not meant to be. Like usually, like I can't actually believe we're actually talking about the weather, but it's like usually Australia is either blazing hot or bloody cold, and it's currently just blazing hot, like always.
Oh yeah,
same.
Pretty hot here too.
We are dying.
Is it a winter where you guys are in America?
It's
no.
supposed to be getting into fall, but you know, global warming.
It's just hot everywhere.
It's like 91, whatever that
it's
is.
It's 32. Degrees Celsius today.
Yeah, so let's talk about global warming.
Yeah. How do we speed it up? How do we speed it up?
Really
guys?
Actioning, you know, we're just trying to do some helping the world, really.
That's right.
Yeah. Wait, Mars, I have an idea.
What's going on?
What's that one creator that made a video about how to get depressed quicker? Why don't we just make a video about how to make global warming happen quicker?
Oh, okay. So it's not how to get depressed quicker. That's close. You're talking about a video from Kurzgesagt, which was, you know, how to make sure that you stay depressed, right? And it was a really cool idea where he was giving tips. Oh, no, not Kurzgesagt. It was CGP Grey. They were giving tips on how to stay depressed and what you can do to make sure that you're not happy, which was like a really cool way of presenting it, because it kind of underlined like, oh, if you're not having good sleep habits, if you're not eating well, you'll continue to feel bad. And it was like a good twist on the common trope where people are like, yeah, just be happy, you know, stay happy.
It's like reverse psychology. I love it.
Yeah, we can just do that with like how to help the world, you know, how to burn the world down and then
keep my car on 24/7.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, welcome again onto the podcast for co-founders of both Glitch and SMG4. It's crazy. The funniest thing that I'm gonna call out Laddie and Rush here. Sorry about this.
Rush, not Laddie.
Yeah. So it was so funny. So we'd organized this podcast for about a month or so, and then in the process, Rush and Laddie naturally, without knowing this specifically, because I kind of said, oh yeah, these are my friends from back in SMG4. That's how I presented them and lined everything up. And then they independently sent me a video of the new Glitch pilot. They were like, the amazing digital circus. And they were like, yeah, look at how cool this is. It's so crazy. And I was like, that's Kevin and Luke. Like, that's literally who we're gonna talk to.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
We were talking about it because me and Rush know the voice actor for Pomni.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really well.
Lizzie Freeman.
Yeah, Lizzie.
Yeah, we do puzzles together. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Lizzie.
So we just thought, oh, yeah, coincidence. Too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. What'd you guys think of the pilot?
I hated it. It was terrible. I hate clowns.
We loved it.
Just kidding. I loved
fantastic.
It.
It was awesome. I thought it was really, really good.
Like, so much fun.
Thanks, guys.
I love the stretching and perspective warping that you guys did.
Yeah.
I think it's so unique, so creative in how you've employed the 3D animation. Like, I really, really, really like it.
All right.
Hell great. Yeah. Yeah, no, a lot of the 3D animation was directed by, you guys know Kevin Temer? He's like a animator on YouTube. Really does a lot of 3D stuff. And like, he gave just so much talent and like input. on just how we're gonna realize this crazy wacky 3D show. So yeah,
that's so good because I love that's so funny that you say that because that now everything clicks. That makes complete sense. It's from Kevin Temer.
Yeah.
Like. Mate, do you know how many times I've listened to the blood, like the what's the garbage song, like the boy band garbage?
Love that song,
mate. I've had that, like, there was a period of time I had that on every day for a week, just watching the animation because it's just so aesthetic. Like, I loved how it looked. So that's so funny that he's involved. That I didn't even realize that. That's so cool, man. That's really, really sick.
He was like, there's a story behind it. We were like, basically developing the show with Goose, right? And then I think Luke sent me just Kevin stuff. And he's like, oh man, wouldn't this be amazing for Digital Circus? And then we showed Goose, and Goose was like, yeah, this person would be perfect. So I just literally DM Kevin. I'm like, hey, we're working on a secret thing. You want to give it a go? And then I showed him a bit of Digital Circus, and he comes back. He's like, I am made for this. I am made for this show. Let's work on it together. And you know, the rest is history. And it just turned out so well. A big partly because of him.
Beautiful.
No, I genuinely, there's so much to break down in just that pilot alone. Especially when, like, I think a lot of people, you know, maybe because of anime, maybe because of just how 3D shows look like, there is a certain bias towards 3D animated shows.
Yeah, of course.
And I think the work you guys are doing with Murder Drones, with Meta Runner, amazing. It's just breaking that down, you know. You're conflating quality to 3D, which I think may not have been the case prior, you know.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. That's exactly what we're trying to do, you know. I think, like, especially now, 3D can have a pretty bad rep, you know, with your Johnnies. That's what we're trying to do.
I love those.
I played that after the Trash Can song, actually. Johnny.
You know what we're gonna do on April Fool's is, like, we're just gonna drop a Johnny video and be like, "Yep, this is our next big project." I think that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Johnny X Murder Drones.
But yeah, we, like, at Glitch, we just find that there's so much talent, you know, out there in the world, and we just want to give these guys, like Kevin, Goose, Liam Vickers with Murder Drones, we just want to give these guys, like, a voice. Mm-hmm. And it's just all about the voice is there, the talent's there. They just need, you know, the support to make something really cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, this show, Digital Circus, Murder Drones, all of that, that's all them, you know? We're just there to cheer them on and support them. But yeah, who knows? It's crazy when you give creators the time and power. Space and creative power. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy what happens, hey?
You know, I get a lot of, like, executives, like, in from like Amazon Prime and Netflix and stuff. They're like, how do you do it, Kevin? How do you do it? I'm like, you give creators creative control and then you support them and then you sit back and see what happens.
Crazy.
Crazy
how that works.
Creative control. Never heard of it.
It's so fascinating, you know, because back when we met up in person at VidCon in 2018, it was back in SMG4, and even then, you know, when we were chatting over dinner, I remember you specifically mentioning, like, you know, I just want to broaden it out from what we're currently doing and see what we can do. And, you know, obviously very at the time I was like, yeah, great, let's go for it. And then to see how far you've come and driven is insane. Really,
I appreciate that. When we met, I don't think we made Meta Runner yet. I think we didn't even start the Glitch yet. I think we were just SMG4 then.
Yeah, it was purely SMG4. I think, like, Meta Runner was something that was, like, maybe in your thought bubbles, but no, it hadn't been made yet. And I remember when it came out, I was like, holy moly, like, they've done it, you know? They've done correct me if I'm wrong, but back then there was, like, an Australian grant, right? Like, the next up, was it? Like, the next...
Yeah, it was the Skip Ahead. It was called the Skip Ahead.
Skip Ahead, that's right. Dude, that's right, yes.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
I don't even remember this.
What's so long ago. we've changed, like, that was, like, 2018. That's 5 years ago. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because that's when we were having a chat about it. Because I remember I was, like, thinking about ways I could apply to that as well.
I think, didn't you start off YouTube around then as well? Like, you were...
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. 2017, 2018 is when I started off. And then I started rising pretty quickly. And then I got a message from a representative of Australian, the media conglomerate. They're like, yeah, do you want to apply for Skip Ahead? And I was like, oh, I'd be down, you know?
Yeah.
What's it do?
Yeah, yeah. It's like an Australian grant that kind of funds a project that you're thinking about. And they were specifically looking for narrative content. So it's not stuff like vlogs or challenges or game shows. They really mm-hmm. wanted narrative content to be pushed forward in creative ways. Mm-hmm. And I think they were just looking for, and at the moment, animation was quite rare at the time. Like, not really people, especially in Australia, were doing anything animation related. So they were really looking for that with Positive Lens. And now we have Bluey. So you know, Bluey kind of. But yeah, this was all the way back in 2018. And then I think, you know, Kevin and Luke, you guys just kind of took that spark. And then Kevin, I saw you you were presenting the unis and, you know, really just doing the groundwork and then set the stage up for Glitch.
Oh, dude, it was so ramshackled back then. Like, because we'd never done animation before, right? Like, all we've done was YouTube and Machinima, like, which is the existing SMG4 stuff. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea at the time what would actually go into animation. At the time, we were like, oh, we can make a show. Let's just get, like, just one animator. And then they'll just make the show.
Easy.
and then, so we literally, like, we'd go to colleges, like, just the art colleges around Sydney. And we just go around and asking them, like, oh, yeah, we just need one animator. And they'd be like, oh, for what? We're like, oh, to make a whole 20-minute animation. They're like, okay. You sure you don't want a bigger team? We're like, oh, we'll just start off with the one. And then,
that's
so fun. So we start pitching, and like, we just get this weird looks from a lot of the students. They're like, oh, what's the team like? And we're just like, oh, it's just you.
Why haven't people done this before?
Yeah, right? And then, yeah, we really, really quickly realized that we needed more people. And then one person turned into five people turned into 10. And then, yeah, the rest is history. I think we're about 50 people now across the world at Glitch.
Oh, wow.
Shows possible. Yeah, yeah. And just so much talent is actually needed to make a good show, you know? So much talent. But yeah, it's really nostalgic thinking back then and all the stumbles we went through to get here,
the building blocks, hey, like the mistakes that needed to be made.
Yep. 100%.
What was the hardest part?
Because I remember you started off all Australian, so when did it transition from getting people around the world, you know, get on to Glitch?
What do you reckon, Luke? I think we were all Aussie right up until
Metawana season 3 was probably the last one, I think. Yeah,
I think Australia. No, it was around COVID, actually. It was around COVID, because at the very beginning we were like, oh, we have to be in house, just because, you know, like, animation files are super big and just sending them around the world and time zones and stuff. But COVID sort of forced us to go remote for like one to 2 years. That was a whole thing. But like, after we went remote, we realized like, oh, yeah, we could do this with overseas people. And then we sort of opened the gates to international people. And we started getting people from America. We have a few people in Europe. But we try to keep it as Aussie as possible, as Aussie as we can. There's just, like, some roles that are, like, really, really competitive here. And so we open up to other countries as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I think that's so, so solid. Honestly, like, looking at the Murder Drones, all the in every single pilot has come out, it's so creative. So, like, the world building and the storyline itself is so unique. And so, like, how do you come up with such original ideas, you know? Because I remember, Kevin, you messaged me before looking for writers. And so was it, like, a spark of inspiration from these new writers that you're fostering, or was it something that you've kind of had in the back of your mind?
I think, like, going through... just going through Metarunner and just making a full show, like, Luke and I, we spent so much time just creating that show, and we were so happy with how it turned out. And then we were thinking about, like, I guess what else we could do, what other stories we could tell. And I think creatively, Luke really wanted to go back on focusing on SMG4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what we realized was, like, we had the team, we had the infrastructure for it, and then we wanted to, I think I was just looking online, and we saw, like, a few creators, and I was like to Luke, man, wouldn't it be cool, what if these guys just had the time and money to make a show, and Luke would be like, man, I would love to see that. And it was literally that, like, we didn't talk, like, it wasn't a lengthy discussion, you know, like, because it's YouTube, you do whatever the hell you want, you don't need to go through producers, executives, all that sort of stuff. We're just like, yeah, what if we just, let's just talk to a guy, like, at the time was Liam, like, let's just reach out to him and see what shakes out. And so I just, like, I DM Liam, I'm like, he's the showrunner for Murder Drones, I'm like, hey, man, you want to make something? He's like, yeah, sure. And then he wrote, I think he pitched Murder Drones to us, right? At the very beginning. At the very beginning, it was super basic. Like, it was so basic. It was like a 5 to 10 minute episode, and it was about these, like, little robots and the concept of, like, VN killer robots. That was, like, really, really sort of one-dimensional at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were going to use Luke. I think we were going to use a bunch of shortcuts for the animation stuff.
Yeah, so one of our shows, Sunset Paradise, uses game loops for the whole show. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do that for Murder Drones. And, like, game loops is very limited because you only have, like, a set amount of animation. So that's what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but it ended up just turning into a fully animated show.
Yeah.
And the stuff that we're trying to achieve now is, like, not in a million years we thought we could have done that. We could have done it. So it's been a really, really cool sort of journey. And wasn't even intentional at the very beginning. Like, we didn't know we'd end up here. It was just, like, it all came from the idea of, like, I want to see cool shows. I don't think there are enough cool shows in the Western world that are animated. Let's try to make that happen. Mm. And, you know, the rest sort of just unraveled itself.
Like, we slowly kind of just realized, and no one's really done this. Like, no one's really made a show just for fun. And, you know, we're lucky because we have SMG4 to help. But, like, yeah, we just made it. And it dawned on us that this is something unique that we have here.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely is. I think, especially if you look over, like, the online animation space, you know, I think narrative content had a big boom around, like, 2007, 2006, like, in Newgrounds era. Like, there was so... I remember watching so many online narrative content, you know? The one that comes to mind is, like, There She Is, you know, the bunny and the rabbit.
Oh, my God. Love listened to that so much as a teen.
So important in my life. And then and also, like, the Madness series, like, the one in Newgrounds where they were, like, this entire narrative. Yep. And I remember, and then it just died down. And then we've talked to, like, you know, Laddie, Rush, and I have talked about this with many people where it's like, where did the narrative content go? You know, online especially, where did it go? Now it's like the story time animation, but it's not really a story about something outside of their lives. There's a story, you know, there's not really much story that's fictional anymore, right?
Yeah.
And then seeing Glitch come back on and then absolutely dominate is so good. No, seriously, it's like I think you do have it, Luke's, you're 100% right. You do have something unique here. And I think showcasing that 3D is the medium to go for and pushing that quality there, it's, I think, you know, there's only nothing but up, really.
Really good.
In saying that, though, you know, is there also, just for interest, is there any consideration about expanding back into 2D, or is 3D the way to go for Glitch?
No, absolutely. Absolutely want to expand. We want to do 2D. Okay. We're just, like, so it's really interesting, right? Like, the story of starting 3D, we just did it because that's what we knew, you know, because we made SMG4, SMG4's in 3D, so we were doing what we knew. But Luke and I have always wanted to do 2D, always.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just because there's so much you can do, and you can just achieve so many cool little styles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's just it's a matter of just, you know, finding the people and building the right team.
Learning everything again.
I think when... Yeah, literally learning everything, because it's a completely different pipeline, right? And it, you know, it took us like 5 years to get Glitch to where it is today. But look, if we had the resources, or when we do get the resources, we'll definitely do a 2D show. Like, it's definitely something you want to do.
That's sick.
That's really, really hype.
I wanted to ask you, though, like, because you talk about story content, right? And just narrative content, rather. And I think I remember you saying you've always wanted to do narrative content. Just firsthand, what's been the experience for you, you know? Like, doing YouTube, focusing on more the animatic style, like story time stuff. Like, what's I want to know from, like, I guess all of you guys, is there from your experiences, is there one to do narrative? What's stopping you? What's stopping other people from going out there and just making stories? Yeah.
What do you reckon, Laddie Rush?
Personally, like, I definitely want to get into doing something more narrative. I've kind of lost the passion to keep doing just regular story time animation stuff. I've been working on like my own story for like an actual like world and everything since I was like 17, just kind of like building it and like the characters and all that. But what's been stopping me is, you know, having to make money. So
yeah, of course,
I can't really focus on what it's on. You know, setting aside everything to write down my story ideas and all that. Yeah. But I love, it's very definitely motivational seeing all of the, like, the sudden, like, indie, like, boom that has been, like, happening lately. Like, the Hell of a Boss, the...
Lackadaisy.
Lackadaisy, for sure. Yeah. 100%. Just stuff like that. Super, like, inspiring has gotten me back into doing it.
Smiling Friends, yeah.
Smiling Friends, yeah.
That is exactly what we want to do, what we want to help sort of amplify at Glitch. Like exactly like you said, we are in a time right now where indie animation is booming. It is on the rise, right? And we want to just add as much fuel to the fire as we can. So there's a community and sort of industry there for like people like you, for Mars and all the other creators out there to be like, wait, this actually might be viable. Like, this actually might be viable. You know, which will inevitably, hopefully, lead to more cool shows and cool stories, which makes the industry grow more. Like, that's exactly what we're trying to do here at Glitch.
Yeah. Absolutely. I admire that so much. I used to think, like, back when the whole, like, AI art scare happened, I was like, that's it. I'm going to have to start my own studio and hire everyone. So people don't have to worry about losing their jobs to AI.
Have you seen that AI princess named Jane? Have you seen that?
Like, what?
No.
There's, like, this AI character, but it's completely AI generated, right? And it looks like absolute garbage, but it's completely AI generated, and like the script is the voice, everything is AI, and it's like when I saw that, I'm like, oh, animation is safe for so long. Like, we were good.
I remember reading someone say, why would I bother to read or watch something that someone couldn't be bothered to write?
Absolutely. 100%.
That's horrifying, Luke. This sucks. This is so bad.
The future is now, boys. This is it. Wow. You're all
in another way, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, put it up on the screen. That's so freaky.
You know, in a comforting way, we know that AI...
It's very comforting.
Like, we're miles ahead of these guys. They'll never catch up to us. Like, they're missing that soul. We got that soul.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Half of animation is all about capturing that human element, you know, and I just don't think AI will get there, really.
That's like,
I don't know if you, again, I don't want to wrap this around to anime again, like for the 16th time in a row, but currently, you know, there's such a fanfare about the One Piece animation. Every episode, there's this crazy, crazy shot or crazy way they've done it. And it's, you know, you just cannot replicate that with AI because they don't have the idea to do that, right? Like, that's like, you need to, they can't formulate new ideas or creative ways to display something that is purely creative element from creators who think of that and do, you know, actually make that happen in animation. I just cannot see how AI can replace it, really.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned like anime. Like, it is something that, you know, Luke and I grew up on, and it is a huge sort of motivation, because anime is like, the stories that are told in anime like span the entire gamut, right? And I always use this analogy. If you type in like psychological thriller anime, you get so much, right? You get like Monster, you get Death Note, you get Psychopaths, you get just so much good shit. You type in psychological thriller, Western animation, you got nothing. No, like, nothing. You got nothing, you know?
Yeah. Cocoa Melon, that's all you get.
You get Cocoa Melon, right? Cocoa Melon.
That is psychological thriller.
I jump every time I hear Cocoa Melon.
No, but
that would make a really good horror show, so really.
Like, oh, dude.
That'd be awesome, totally. Actually.
That's a great idea. But Yeah, but like we think like online animation is the building blocks to that, you know, like creating that industry.
Yeah.
And you can see that with like Lackadaisy and Digital Circus and all these shows. They are hitting, untapping this sort of like dormant creative well that's been just sitting there, you know, and like it's all in all of us. Like, so many people in the Western world love anime, right? So people clearly want to watch that kind of stuff. It just needs to. People just need to. When I say people, I mean like the people who have the executive power to do this kind of stuff. They just need to be able to take that risk on these kinds of shows.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what hopefully Glitch is. We're gonna help fix.
Yeah,
a couple million, so might as well.
So good, bro.
Thank you.
And then even when you like speak about Western animation, like it's so funny that even when they have a touch of creativity that kind of sets them apart from the norm, like for example shows like Our House or Gravity Falls or even like Avatar the Last Airbender, they're like immediately everyone's like, wow, animation's amazing, but then they still like the executives still don't get the hint and don't push it further. And even to the point where Korra didn't even get on TV, like they hid it behind like an online paywall, you know,
dude. So friggin' they like, and when Netflix had to make cuts, animation was the first to go.
It's always the
first to go. Annoying.
But Big Mouth is my favorite show.
It's really
Big Mouth and Coco Villain.
Come on, guys.
You mentioned like when talking about Our House, like Donna Terrace, who's the showrunner of the show, like the Our House is great, right?
But, yeah,
we saw like Twitter posts and like on her Instagram, I was reading up on just on the stuff she was making, and like her she was like, if Our House wasn't originally like that sort of Disney friendly, it was a lot more older, more mature, and even she was saying like, I would love the chance to just make like an older, mature, dark animated show, and I was like, what the fuck, I would love to see that. Like, this is the sort of shit we should be funding, you know, we should be investing in.
Have you watched have you seen the Fiona and Cake series at all?
I've heard about it, no, but I haven't actually sat down to watch it yet.
It's definitely like, since this has been aired on I think HBO Max.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a continuation of Adventure Time kind of, but like they say like curse words sometimes, and like it's actually like you could tell that this is what Adventure Time would have should have been, because having like they throw in like minor adult things in there, being like, ah, this is like, it's just so good. And
why minor adult things? Why not many adult things? No, I love that though. I love that.
Animation should be also for adults.
Yes. 100%.
And so I guess like, you know, I think it's great that it is booming and that there is obviously some room now in the online sphere to kind of bring it up and push it forward. And so speaking from your end, you know, you're like a success story in how you've started from the bottom, genuinely built a studio, success story there. And I love that you're trying to promote that in the future. And so do you have any tips for the future up and comers out there as to how they can go about maybe making their own show, and common pitfalls that you guys may maybe have done that they can avoid, like for example hiring more than one animator or you know, anything?
Absolutely. I think for like the solo artists out there, it's the first thing is just make stuff. Like that is always the first thing, because how we actually found out about Liam was we just came across his YouTube channel and we watched one of his pilots he made completely by himself. It's called Cliffside, and like I watched that and I'm like, this guy has so much creative genius in him, like we have to make something with this guy. And like, it doesn't have to be a full animation, it can be a storyboard, it can be an animatic, it can be a comic, you know, just starting to make stuff and sharing that around. I think the want from the audience is definitely there. It's just putting in, you know, just make, honestly, making stuff. And I think that can be so creatively fulfilling. Like, it's so creatively rewarding to like make characters in a world and tell your own little story as well. And just doing doing that, like, it really comes through in the art. That would probably be my biggest thing. I'd get everyone, like, everyone could just start doing it right now. Just start making their own content.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, SMG4 started because I saw other people making silly Mario videos, and I was just like, yeah, I want to make it. They were horrible, obviously. It was, like, 13 years old. But, you know, I genuinely had a lot of fun making them, and I just kept making them, and that's where I am now.
And now we're here.
Started from the creative passion, really. Yeah.
Sure. In terms of like pitfalls, I would say scope. scope is always the biggest thing, and scope is just basically like how much work is actually going to go into your thing. You know, if you start off with, you want to make a 20-minute fully animated all Sakuga pilot, that's, you know, that's obviously way out of scope. So maybe start off with something smaller, like 2 minutes. I find that like you can tell a lot in a couple of minutes. You can tell a really nice condensed story. You can get across a character or characters' personalities in a couple of minutes. I would say like short form is hard to tell a good story, like 30 seconds or lower. But just making something like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just basically like something where you can tell, explain your character, what they are, their personality. That's a really good place to start. And yeah, scope.
That's really, really good advice. That's really great advice. Yeah. I think shorts is definitely not the way. I think the only successful short story that I've seen is probably Skibidi Toilet, which is like, you know, I don't know if I would. I don't even know if I would count that.
You're bad. To that guy's, I watched his mainline content, and like there is story, like he's trying to craft a story there, which is pretty admirable, you know. It's just it's just the kids love the skibbity bop bop yes yes song.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of sat there and I was just watching it, and I then looked up and I had watched all 60 something of it, and I was like, oh god, like
you in a weird way.
Love that. Yeah, love that.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. But scope is a great way of doing it, because I think even for YouTube, you know, how many, I'm sure you guys have already experienced, I'm sure all of us have experienced this, but how many people have come up and said, oh, I'm trying to make a YouTube channel and I'm trying to make this amazing, you know, amazing, crazy idea.
Yep.
And I was like, oh yeah, how many videos have you made? And they're like, oh, I haven't made it yet. It's just what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to get your name on the board, you know, you got to get the first one out. Dude, and then work your way up from there.
Because that is the balance with burnout, right? Because if you just work on a big thing and you don't release anything for years, that is like the highest culprit of just getting burnt out and working that thing, you know? And you see it so often. So making something short, that is like actually feasible for like a solo artist to do, and getting that out first, that is always better than just trying to, you know, run the full nine yards from the get-go, because at least you have something that you can build upon.
Exactly.
People get intimidated, they think that they have to make like a perfect first video, but no one, everyone hates their first video.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You should watch Luke's first video. It's so wholesome and charming.
Let's not watch it.
Let's watch it together right now.
Come on, unlist it.
I'll link it here.
That's so funny. Because, bro, like I was gonna say, I had my last video, bro. Like, I mean, not even the first one.
Here it is.
No, that's
it's not even like the correct
the cake is
not even the correct resolution. It's like 4x3.
So funny.
This is from 2013.
I love cake.
How old were you, Luke?
The when text
you
made this? On screen.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh my
years
god.
13.
Wow.
This video, like, this video is the start of glitch right here because of this video.
Yeah. Man, that's so awesome.
The definition of humble.
And like, I this love is, humble beginnings.
Yes, right? Like, this is proof that anything is possible on the internet.
Frame this on your wall. Every frame.
Like, this is literally just, Luke just recorded the opening of Super Mario 64.
It's just like, okay. Cake! Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. Everyone has their first video, and like I have, even before my animation channel, I had like an anime review channel. Oh god, that I, you know, when you're voice acting and speaking, you have to be project your voice. But I remember when I was recording, I was like, hey guys, you know, super shy, like not the same.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've seen Russian Laddie's first videos as well, you know, I'm like...
Yeah, no one can compare to me. I'm perfect from the get-go. Perfect from the get-go every time, that's it.
Rush used to make, like, furry artwork and, you know...
What's
furry...
wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything's wrong, you know?
Just because I like to, you know...
Like to what? Excuse
what?
Me?
What?
I'm moving on. Anyways, let's talk about the weather.
So everyone's got their own start. And so I fully agree. I think even when it comes to a show or making a narrative content, ultimately it's the same as making one video, right? Like, I think you mentioning Cliffside is a really good example of it, actually. It's like they focused on making one video, and that one video is why they got Luke got hired. You know, he got hired in the first place. The glitch, you know. And exactly. Same thing with all of the other, like, Meta Run of Season 1. You made one episode, and then more creative people saw that one video and got on board. Exactly. And then it just kind of snowballs from there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're in the art industry, right? Like, people just, like, looking at stuff. Like, people don't care about, like, text and words. They just want to see stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to see how Glitch proceeded on. And then I think, Laddie, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about the expo as well, hey?
Yeah, I noticed that you guys are going to have an expo in November.
Yes. So yeah. We're doing like a online live stream, which we're calling Glitch X. And basically, what I was saying before about amplifying the indie animation boom that's happening right now, like, that's the entire intention of this. And we're getting creators like Tracy from Lackadaisy, Senor Palo. We're getting Vivian from Hasbin Hotel, Hell of a Boss, and a bunch of great voice actors. Basically, just come on stream. We'll be chatting with them, playing some games, just talking about the animation industry in general. And hopefully, like, just spread the word, get the fan bases to sort of cross-pollinate. The whole angle and idea is to spread the word about indie animation. We have, like, a bunch of Kickstarters as well from upcoming indie animated shows that we're just gonna shout out and get people to go check out and support. Because we're seeing a lot of really, really cool shows starting to come through. And we just want to make sure that they get the attention and support they deserve and the visibility with like, the entire industry. And, yeah, hopefully in, like, a couple of years, we can do in-person events. We don't know to what extent yet, but we'll definitely see how it goes.
I love that. I love the idea of that so much. It's so wholesome, too.
And like, who knows, when we do an in-person event, it'd be great to, you know, have you guys on as a panel as well. It'd be great to get, like, all these creators in a place like that.
Oh, we're super hyped to do that. Watching, like, seeing the Glitch X and the lineup, you know, I kind of shelved the fictional story idea that I had in my mind a few years ago, but now I kind of want to see, can I take that out and work on it in the meantime, you know? It's super inspiring, like, really motivational stuff, you know?
I love that, man. And who knows? Next GX, you know? Mars's show. You know, it's possible, man. It's absolutely possible.
Yeah, I know. And, like, I like the fact that it's more on... I like the idea that it's on YouTube and online and accessible. Like, James, yeah, I'm sure you guys know, like, he made Oddballs on Netflix, and it's like super, you know, really polished. Love the show, love the amount of effort. But there's a bit more charm and a bit more message doing it online, right? Like, you don't need studio backing to make your own show. You can make it on your own if you try hard enough.
That's right. Yeah, 100%. Like, I remember when I went to LA last year and I had a chat with James just around when Oddballs was coming out, just, like, to congratulate him on everything. And, like, the show sort of really, really captivates the, like, his sort of humor really, really well. It was a great show, and I was talking to him about it, and I was like, oh, how was it? And he's like, I would love to, if I could, make another show and do it, like, indie as well, and, like, just have a team that I could talk to, you know, every day. And he said the environment is so different when you're working online versus, like, studio stuff, you know? And yeah, I was like, man, that's really cool to hear, you know, like, that you've done both and you're really keen on doing indie as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got a show, an audience, you got a show, pitch them, do it.
Fuck it.
That'll be $100.
Yeah.
Listen. You guys talk about anime, right? What's your favorite anime that inspired you?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hard one.
Like, what, like, really gotcha?
I think Death Note, for me, just from, like, a story perspective. Like, I love Death Note. Like, what, read it growing up. I've watched it, like, 3 times.
Dude, I watched it. I made my grandma watch that, and she fell in love, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
She's, like, super Christian.
That's cool. I think I'm the same. I love psychological thrillers. So Monster, if you guys ever heard of that, or Death Note.
Monster. I don't think I Monsters. Have. What's Monster?
Oh, it's great. It's like, I don't know if I want to discuss the summary, but basically,
it's about it's like a serial killer anime, but it really really gets you. It's like a mystery. Mm-hmm. This guy like wakes up, he has no memories, and there's like a whole serial killer involved, and it just it's beautifully written. Beautifully.
It's one of those shows you solve it with them, and like yes. you help solve together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that sounds so fun, dude. That's crazy.
How about you guys?
What's that?
Oh, you guys, what are your favorite animes?
Ah, oh, shoot. Cocomelon. Honestly,
yeah, that's a good
choice.
Love the Sakuga on that. Dude, there's so many animes out there. Gurren Lagann's pretty up there. Love how crazy that shit is.
Do you guys get in your works when you make stuff, or if you ever want to do narrative content, is there any anime that like really influences you? Would it be or a genre from anime that you're like, oh, I'd love to do something like that?
Oh man, that's so many. It's so hard. So many. I love the twists and turns of Attack on Titan so much. It makes you when you rewatch it, it's just like, whoa, that was there in plain sight the whole time.
Like king of foreshadowing, like, that show.
Rewatchability.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so funny because I remember we were watching in one of the US VidCons. I had already read the manga, so I was like the typical manga nerd who was like, ooh, okay, whatever. And so as we were watching the anime, something crazy, I don't want to spoil it, but something crazy was shown that I was like, holy moly, that's foreshadowing what's coming later, but no one noticed it. And so I was just like freaking out internally. I was like, no way. Like, it was just something that was so fascinating that they were building that up from this long, you know?
A lot of shows do that. They hint at like things to come.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, and he had everything in mind from day one, and it there's definitely evidence of that even in the ending. Like, it's so good.
So exciting.
No, I think if I can finally make a show that's as good as Attack on Titan, I think that's, you know, that's like goals right there, you know.
Right. I really get a lot of inspiration from One Piece. I feel like just the way they write all the characters, as like they're all so different. I really want to be able to make characters as good as characters in One Piece.
Yeah, no, I just
they're all different, but they also have like common thread.
Yeah. Luke's watching One Piece.
Actually,
right now,
just caught up.
He's telling. Nice. He tells me.
Yeah, I just caught up.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
You just caught up. Good.
Nice.
Whoa, nice.
But every day, Luke tells me like, "Man, we gotta achieve One Piece, man. The characters are so cool. Like,
yeah.
Every character has a different dynamic with another character, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah. Like, so much
fun is a great. It's so much fun. Yeah. It's like it's not a show that takes itself super super seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it captures the whimsical pirate feeling almost perfectly.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Absolutely.
I love the balance of comedy and tragedy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be tragic the whole time because it's like, oh, you know what to expect. But if you're like funny and then tragic happen, it's way more tragic.
Oh, I've cried at One Piece too many times. And I'm not even done.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. There's so much sadder moments coming up, Lenny. No, it's that inspiration is plenty. I just wish whenever we talk about inspirations, I just wish we actually had Western shows or like, you know, online shows.
Right.
We all, like, most people mention anime, and a lot of animation tends to mention anime. And Avatar, to give it credit, is an inspiration.
Yeah.
I think I still think about how, you know, who was the person, probably the two creators really, but who was the person who gave each of the elements a specific martial fighting style, and who was it who based them on like Tibetan and Eskimo, and like who made all that? Because that's so creative. Like, no one would have naturally come up with that, but obviously someone did. You know, I just think it's so fascinating and creative.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If I can get to that level, I think I'll be a very happy man.
I love playing old shows all the time. Just the same old, please.
Yeah. I really, really hope. Like, yeah, no, Avatar, now that you mention it, Avatar was such a big inspiration for us as well. Like, loved it, grew up on it, watched it so many times. You know, I thought, when I was growing up, I was like, man, Zuko is so cool. He's so badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Why is he so like, bad at being good?
Yeah, yeah. but the hope, like just circling it back to Glitch and what we're trying to do. The hope is literally to fill in the gap that you just said, Mars. Like, hopefully 5 years from now, we can have psychological thrillers that are Western animation. We can have these shows that are Western animated. Mm. You know, that's the hope.
I think that's a great goal to have. And I guess, you know, I don't want you to spoil anything, but where to next? Like, what's the next step? I know you guys just revealed Digital Circus, so maybe it's a bit premature, but
yeah.
What's in it? What's next for Glitch Productions?
So right now, we're just seeing how Digital Circus is going, and obviously it's doing really, really well. We're currently we're trying to fund the full season, and just the way we're doing that is just through the merchandise stuff.
love merchandise.
Yeah. And other than that, we're focusing on Murder Drones, just working on the rest of the season at the moment. And Glitch X is the other big thing, the online streaming convention we're doing. Yeah, those are the main things in the pipeline right now.
And that's so awesome.
I guess I just want to like touch on the funding aspect. I guess like, you know, a lot of people will struggle coming up with their own shows and everything. And I'm sure that the main issue is money, as we've mentioned beforehand. And so like I'm just curious, because obviously the merchandise is a great option for you guys, but you know, have you dabbled into stuff like crowdfunding or trying to get other people to sponsor? Like what do you reckon works and doesn't work?
I think crowdfunding is a really, really good way to get your shows funded. I think that's great. Lackadaisy did, right? They just made $2 million off of their kickstarting their season, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy for Tracy. Like, I think they absolutely deserve it. You know, so I think that is a great way to do it.
Never underestimate crowdfunding.
Absolutely, because that's the one thing that says, you know, to me and to everyone, is like the want is there. Like, people want these shows to be made. You know,
people want to throw their money at stuff that they like.
Exactly. And I think that's a great way. We were very lucky because we had SMG4 to sort of like seed fund all these shows that we're working on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we were lucky there, but otherwise, yeah, we probably would have done crowdfunding or like memberships or Patreon otherwise.
Yeah.
That's so wild. Like, you know, because one of our friends just did a very successful crowdfunding for his card game.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What's it called? Swords. And so our friend's like, his name's Christian Circle Tunes HD, but it's called Fool's Blade. He's like a super into rogue-like card games, and so he kind of made this idea, and it's like you make your own blade, like you kind of play the game, and as you go on, you make your own swords and blades, and then it went super viral, and it got like $700,000 or something in the crowdfunding.
Hold on, let me find it real quick.
$700,000.
It got a lot of money.
Yeah, that's crazy good.
Yeah, 700,000, right.
Yeah. And then, like, even to the point where, like, you know, it broke Kickstarter for that day. And Smosh and a few other people started playing his game. And there were, like, trailers and all these other...
Great.
You know, it was so... He pivoted from this animation channel who used to very clearly branded himself as someone who loved playing board games and video games. And then he's like, by the way, I'm going to make my card game with my style. Do you guys want to support it? And then, you know, funded in 45 minutes and had like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's just so wonderful.
I love these stories, man. I love these stories. I'm checking out now. This is so cool.
Yeah. I think at the time while this was up on the Kickstarter, Call of Duty was also Kickstartering their board game.
Yep.
And it surpassed Call of Duty by like...
Oh, really?
It was crazy.
That's so good. So good.
Yeah. Like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, I would love to do a board game, man. That'd be so cool.
It'd be fun. Maybe someday. Yeah.
Matt, you've got such cool IP. I reckon that's just like one of the future steps, really.
Yeah. We did a comic for Metarunner, like a comic, and that did well. So I would love to do more like paper based or like physical based stuff. Maybe we will. Maybe that's the next project, Luke.
Coco Melon board game.
Yeah.
Done. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Let's go. I think
Coco Melon board game. It just clicked in my mind. Psychological thriller board game.
Escape the baby.
This summer, I actually made a board game. I made four board games. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast. Did we? I don't think we have.
No, we hadn't. I don't think we have.
I don't think so.
This year, I made four board games in my head. I got really high one night. And I just brainstorm when I'm high. And I made it real. And we made everyone play it at VidCon this year. And nice. Ma, how fun was it? Did you have fun? Did you have a good time? Did you scream at all? Did you get upset? Totally not. Right?
I don't think I screamed. but I definitely, it was a challenge.
It took us 2 hours, right, to complete?
Yeah.
It took like an hour and a half,
Yeah, 2 hours. I'll round up.
It was so frustrating.
Basically, it was an escape room meets a board game. And it was so fun.
Once you beat it once, you can never play it again.
The one and done.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
So, I think there's definitely room there, like a potential there. I just don't want to play it again.
Maj, you said to add the gold system. I added it, and people were relentless, and they kept sabotaging themselves, and they won through the gold way, and I removed it. I'm like, I'm not adding this gold method through this board game anymore.
Oh, you don't? The selfish method.
Yeah, it was not fun. It took like 3 hours.
Oh, okay, God. Okay, never mind. Okay, I don't want to play this game again anymore. Anyway, look, I think that's just one of the future pipelines, really. I would love to make a proper board game. I anyone who knows me, I've got like an entire shelf stocked of board games ready to go playing. But I think it's, you know, that's why it's like major respect for anyone who does it. It's just so much harder, so much harder than it seems. But anyway, Murder Drones, I think Murder Drones card game, Murder Drones board game.
That would go so hard.
Oh hell! Listen, everybody, you can pre-order it now at.
I would like if there's any game designers out there, or like board game designers, hit me up. We'll talk.
Yo, I would love to make a board game.
I have a Sharpie. Let's go.
That'd be so hype. I think like, you know, I don't want to, this is definitely well into the future thing, but with your branding, especially with Metarunner, as well as Digital Circus.
That's been Kevin's dream, game, you know, Kevin's like, dream since
wouldn't
the
that be the entire thing where you're getting into the video?
Yeah. The thing is, if we do a video game, like I want to do it right, you know, like I want to fully, completely make a good game. Instead of like a quick mobile game kind of thing, like I would want to make something like really, really fun. But that's like, that's a whole separate studio at that point. So, maybe in the future.
Yeah. Way in the future. Way in the future, okay. Fair enough.
That'd be sick though. You could do it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe 5 years.
Crossover. It's like a Ratatouille moment.
Yeah.
Kevin's playing like his own video game. Just goes back to childhood. These single tier roles, man. Nah, that's good, man. I think if that was to happen, definitely would be the first one to get the game straight away.
Appreciate that.
No worries at all. Look, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, Kevin and Luke, for coming onto the podcast.
Again, so insightful, so inspiring.
Thank you guys.
Actually so motivating. So genuinely wonderful stuff. Love hearing from you always. Again, I'm sure there'll be many, many comments about questions and feedback about what people want and what people want to hear about. And hopefully, you know, I'll just reply to them and answer as much as possible. But again, hope the best for Glitch Productions. Thank you again for popping on. And thank you, listeners, for listening to the podcast.
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you so much.
You. No worries. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. And logging off now.